Okay, so Ryan, he kept on talking around what I wanted to talk about tonight. And I just want to simply share with you about the thought of planted. There's several defining moments in my life. One of them was when I got saved, obviously. One of them was when I got married. Another one is when I began to plant myself in the house of God. Before I ever became a pastor, I was a great church attender. When Ryan was communicating tonight to these folks that very humbly and very honorably and righteously came forward, and he was just saying, make them want to come to church every time the doors were open. He didn't say that because he read it out of the book. That's how Ryan's life has been. All of our kids have grown up in God's house all through their life. And the incredible things that happen when you are in the house of God, when you're planted, you just don't step in once in a while when it's convenient, but when you're planted, you're a part of it. Hello? Are you listening to me tonight? And big things happen in your life when you're planted in God's house. Great things like tonight. You see, you can't experience this what took place, and we've only been here, the service started at 7, so it's about 7:36 now, I think, 7:38. You can't get that going to work. Your boss is not going to say, hey, if you're feeling depressed, you're feeling, challenged, if you're dealing with some issue in your life, I want you to come into my office, and I just want you to stand there. We're just going to invite the presence of God. Now, maybe for some of you, you have a boss like that. But for the most of you, that's not going to happen. Where is that going to happen? It's going to happen in God's house, in great things. And that won't happen by watching a television program either. You can watch all you want, and I'm all for it. My radio in my car is always on a Christian channel. I'm either watching the news or I'm watching something at home that's on a Christian television, but you'll never receive the level of what God has for you until you are planted in the house of God. And you might think, well, we're here tonight. I want to encourage you, because I think for some of you, I was just contemplating this when I came in here tonight, and Ryan said, right, we're tight-knit family here tonight, right? So can I just talk like we're just, like I'm sitting around in the living room with you? Can I be honest with all of you? Timmy, can I talk about you just a minute? Do you mind? Is that okay? I've already asked Chuck if I could talk about him, and he said yes. So being in the house of God, you learn things. Things change in your life. I'm going to read just a few scriptures to you. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, I want you to throw your hand up in the air right now. Brad's going to come down, and he's going to grab you one, and he's going to bring it to you. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, put your hand up. There's a couple. Put it up so he can see you. Grab a few of them. There's over there. Good. Because you can see it on the screen. I'll have the scripture up there, which I really like. Don't you like that when we do that? But you can't take the screen with you tonight. You can't take it with you. So you can take the Bible with you. You can underline in it. You can write in it. And it's so important to have the Word of God in your hand and in your heart. Romans 12. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures to you. Romans 12, verses 3. And these are so important. I want to talk about being planted in God's house, being family. Romans 12, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to read out of the New Living. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, And these members do not have all the same functions. So in Christ, we through many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. This is so great. Craig, you were talking to me about this last night at the men's meeting, reading a scripture and you're not really catching it. You're going to catch some things tonight, and that's why it's important for you to read that. And incidentally, if you have your Bible and you're not sure where to go, go up in the front of it, open it up into the index. Don't be afraid if somebody looks at you and makes a face at you like, well, you should know where that is. You don't know where it is. I don't even know. I get a brain gas sometime, and I'm thinking, okay, where is that? Oh, that's right. So, but find it, write it. He says, there's many members, and these members do not have the same function. So every one of you, that's why it's so important to be a part of the house of God, because every one of you has a different function that God has attached to your life for purpose. And when everybody comes together, then we form the one body that God is calling for. Here's another one, Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. Everybody say amen to that. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Some of you need some stamina in your life not to give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, or to the, I think King James says, to the household of faith. When you have an opportunity to do good, do it. And start right with your brothers and sisters in God's house. Another scripture, Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. These are so good. I just love these. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite. This is a scripture that God, this is what he was to me. I read this one time when I was in a place in my life where I kept on looking for somebody else to fill the hole in my life. And God brought me to the scripture. He says, a father to the fatherless. We live in a fatherless generation. And here God is saying to those who will trust him and believe, he will be your father. You know what happened in my life when I began to quit trying to find somebody else to fill that role because my dad was gone out of my life when I was 11? When I clung to this, I really connected with the inheritance of my heavenly father. He began to give me things that my earthly father couldn't give to me. He said, a father to the fatherless. Listen to this. Look at this. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets lonely people in families. He leads out prisoners with singing, but the rebellious, they live in a sun-scorched land. I used to be rebellious. Is anybody else here? Did anybody else used to be rebellious? My wife still says I got a little of it in me, but she doesn't realize that. It's just stamina, not rebellion. Here's one more. These are great scriptures. Psalm 92, 12, 13, and 14. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Do you know what a palm tree does? Do you know that a palm tree can withstand wind and fire in the elements like no other tree? Actually, wind can bend a palm tree almost over flat, and it'll pop right back up again. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Some of you are being stretched in here right now. You're in a place of your life. You're being stretched. I want you to know you're going to pop back straight up. Come on tonight. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, which is the strongest. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. How many of you want to flourish? Come on. They will flourish in the courts of our God. I love this. Chuck, this is why I ask you. They will still bear fruit in old age. Amen. And they'll stay fresh and green. Chuck, you fresh and green booger, you. You are bearing fruit. You're fresh. You're green. You're right on time. Come on, isn't that great? I said that a few weeks ago. Instead of getting old and miserable, get old and fresh and green. Fresh and green. When you see Brother Chuck from now on, just look at him and say, you look fresh and green. Just tell him that. Just declare that. They'll bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green. That means they're not going to go around complaining or wanting their own way. You know, Chuck Wood is one of the most selfless people that I've ever met in my life. He could do and have, he can move the world with his words, but he comes in as a servant because he's planted in God's house. You're not as excited about this as I am. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. This will bless your life. You'll stay green, you'll stay fresh, and the Lord, he is upright, he's my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. So I just want you to know tonight, there is value in staying connected. You and I were born with a longing to belong. That's inside of you. And if there was anyone that could have done it alone, Jesus would have done it alone, but he chose not to. He chose 12 to do life with. And that's what he has for you and I. I started to say that when we started to go to church, everything was so different, especially for me. When I started as a young man, when I gave my life to Christ and I started attending church, it was weird. I mean, it was weird. Guys were coming up to me and shaking my hand and hugging me. I'm like, what's going on here? What kind of place is this? This is strange. And they're singing songs and they're doing stuff. And I just felt, this is just weird. But I found out that after a while, my life began to change because I begin to be planted and I begin to grow into who God had wanted for my life. And so I just want to share these five thoughts with you, and I'm going to just go through them and help you. That these are the things that happens to you and I when we are set in God's family. Number one, it builds our beliefs. It helps you to understand who you are in the plan of God. Because every time you show up, God will release something different into your life. Every time you show up, every single time, your faith will grow. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You will grow, you will increase. Your life will take on new meaning. He will build you and build the belief and the convictions in your life. Number two, he gives you a family to belong to. This is so important. Many people have no place or no family. Hey, I was one of them. I was one of them. I didn't have anybody. When I started going to church, my mom came with me once or twice. My brother came with me a few times at that time. And then after my mom died and I was homeless, I didn't have anybody. I mean, my girlfriend's family helped me. They were family to me. But you want to know what became my family? Was the house of God. And some people have family, and they don't even feel a connection to it. I mean, a lot of people, they grow up in the house of God, and they're more connected to the people of God in the house of God than they are to their own natural family. And that's God's plan for our lives. You know, some of us, we have people, individuals in our family, they can't understand why we do what we do, and they're living one way, and they're struggling, and they're fighting through things, and God's blessing you, and he's helping you, and when you go through a challenge, he's there to lift you up, and yet still, people in the family look at it and say, I don't know why you do that, while they're suffering and not engaging. But a family to belong to is so important, and we can flourish when we are connected. This is so important. You flourish when you are connected. Number three, being planted in the house of God helps you to become all God wants you to be. When I was a kid, I really didn't have any heroes. I looked at a few that I thought were my heroes. You know, sometimes when you're young, you look at this individual and you think, man, I just like to grow up to be like him. With me, it was, maybe you've heard me tell the story, it was a guy by the name of Gordy Morth. And I used to live in South Byron, the old school down across there. All of a sudden, this guy started showing up on Tuesday nights and teaching all the kids in town that were fatherless or their fathers were alcoholics. He'd go down there and he'd teach them how to play baseball. It's the biggest thing. Man, I'd go down there every Tuesday in the summer. I'd wait for him. He'd come in. He had a little yellow Volkswagen Beetle. I can see him pulling, come down in the grass. He'd open the door up. He'd have his foot down there like a Flintstones. I thought he was stopping the car with his foot. I looked up to him as a hero when I was a kid. No dad. And then one day he never showed up again. Never said he wasn't coming. It crushed my heart. I still, it's affected me. I think about it to this day. I didn't have any heroes. I didn't have any role models to help me to become who God had called me to be. But then when I got into the house of God and I began to be planted in the house of God, I begin to see how families function. I had no idea before that. I began to watch others, how they interacted in their families. I watched others. I watched other men, how they treat their wives, how they talk to them, how they modeled life. I learned how to smile and how to show respect to other people. I learned how to be a giver. I learned how to give myself away. I learned that being planted in the house of God was not just about me and what I could get. I love what Ryan said tonight. We don't sing all the songs that we like, maybe that you like. It's never about just what you or I want, not only in church, but in life, right? But I learned in church how to be what God, what He's called me to be, all He wants me to be. I learned how to invest in others. I learned how to forgive people. You know why? You know what shortchanges people? They get in a tiff with somebody, and instead of sticking to it, they just say, I'm not going anymore. And they miss out what God wants for them. And then you wonder sometimes, I talk to men all the time, and thank God we had a men's meeting last night next door. It was just powerful. I talk to men all the time. They're angry at this one. They're angry at that one. If they've not planted themselves in the house of God and to learn how to forgive. You've got to learn how to do that. And in the house of God, you'll learn that by being connected. Because I can't get mad at you. Some of you, I want to. No, I don't. But I can't get mad at you and come in here week after week carrying a chip on my shoulder. And not just, well, you're the pastor. You can't. No, you can't either. And then when the guy up here says, go greet somebody, and that person that you just like, oh, they come up to you and, hey, good morning. You're like, okay. And God begins to work in your life. And you begin to connect with people that are a little further along than you are in life. And you learn how to be a believer when you're planted. Everybody say planted. Number four, this is good. It teaches us how to behave. And some of you haven't always behaved. Why is there so much laughing going on here? I remember men coming up to me, getting right up in my face, saying, that's wrong. Oh, that's the power of God coming on you right now. Ooh. You better listen to me right now. There's an anointing on me. I remember men coming up to me and saying, that's not right. That's wrong. Your attitude's wrong. That was wrong. That was a bad decision. Came up to me and told me that. Now, I could have left and told them, who do you think you're talking to? What you doing? But no, because when you make the choice to listen from some people that have been down the road ahead of you, you gain some insight. Right? Am I talking to anybody here tonight? I spent a night in jail one time when I was 17 years old. I was out. I was up to no good. Listen, I should have spent a lot of nights in jail. We were up to no good, and guy in the car did something. We stopped in front of this house. Little did I know that that guy was best friends with an old judge that used to be in Stafford, Judge Muscoff. He was known, Judge Muscoff was known everywhere. They came to my house because a guy got my license plate number at 4 o'clock in the morning and knocked on the door. I can remember it like it was yesterday. My brother came up, said, "What'd you do tonight?" I go, "Huh?" He goes, "The state police are out there and they want you." I go, "What?" And I went down there. They cuffed me and took me away. And Timmy, that's why I told you what I told you tonight. Not because I've always behaved. Dad, come on, adjust your halo and stick with me here just a minute. You haven't always behaved. You got to grow up and be who God has called you to be. There's no greater place in your life. This is a pastor talk tonight, isn't it, Brother Chuck? There's no greater life that you can live than the life that God has called you to live. No greater life. He'll do things. If somebody told me that night that I was going away with handcuffs, that I would be telling somebody about it today, I'll never forget. I know Judge up in Darien, Judge Graber, and this is a few years ago before Judge Muscoff died. We went to Terry Hills for lunch one Sunday, and there's Judge Graber sitting there, and he knows me. "Hey, how you doing, Marty?" I go, "Hi, can I come over?" "Sure." Judge Muscoff was there, and I said, "Judge, you put me in jail one night. I don't forget how many years, 35, 40 years ago, I don't know. I said, you put me in jail one night. You helped me. Thank you." He looked at me. He said, "You're welcome." I'm like, okay, I couldn't have said that. It took me a long time to say that. But you know what helped me? It's being in the house of God. It taught me to behave. It taught me to put others first. It taught me not to cuss every time I got upset. Hello? It taught me to put others first. It taught me, some of you are looking at one another right now, I'm not going to look at you. It taught me to do acts of kindness to other people. I saw this thing, I got home from the gym this morning, I was drinking a cup of coffee, and I turned on the news, and I was watching, they were doing this story, they were going to give these things away, and this lady on the show, she got dressed up as a policeman, they went into New Jersey, and she said, "We're going to ticket people, but they're going to give them all these tickets to these concerts and basketball games and football games." And so she's going around the cars that were parked a little funny. They weren't doing anything wrong. She said, "I'm going to ticket you." She's in a policeman's uniform, and people are like, "What? Why are you doing that?" And then they'd open up. She comes up to the last guy, and she says, "I'm going to ticket you for something." He goes, "What? What? Come back here. Who are you? Show me your..." And really arrogant and nasty. And she said, "Just look at your ticket." And he's hollering at her, and he's all upset, and he's mad. And then he turns around, and he opens it up, and he's got these tickets to a football game, you know, sitting in these fans. And he just, you could see him right on TV. He drops his shoulders. He goes, "I could cry about it, just telling you. I sat in my chair. I was just crying about it. I just cried because he was arrested because of his belligerence, and he was stopped in his tracks because somebody did something kind." You learn that not on TV, although it was good, but you'll really learn it in the household of God, to be kind to others. You learn how to behave, and God wants to teach us some things. You learn to behave when you worship. The Spirit of God deposits things inside of you that you can't get anywhere else. Last, your life will be bigger from being planted in God's house. You'll be bigger because you'll be a part of something bigger. We're much better together. And when we try to do it alone, or when things, you know, they get tough and we wander off on our own, that's when we get in big trouble. We can do more when we do it together. It's just like the year-end offering. Some people look at that and they think, "Oh, that's so much money." The Lord never asks you to do it individually, but when we all do something together, we can be bigger, we can do better, we can accomplish more. But when we're alone, the Bible says the enemy goes about as a roaring lion. Jeff, you got that up there already? Seeking whom he may devour. Now, I love to watch like the animal things on TV. I love to watch things with lions, and I love all that. I love the dimension of Africa. I've been to Africa 7 times. Isolation is one of the most destructive things that can happen in your life. Jeffy, I just want you to watch this. It's a little tough, but the ending of it is really big. Cut the lights up here so you can see that.
The lions have been marching since dawn. Yesterday's defeat hit them hard. Today, they're a step ahead of the Bashar clan. They anticipate their arrival in the grove.
I wonder why God says the enemy walks around like a roaring lion.
This will take careful preparation. Each lion has to maneuver into a perfect ambush position. They have time. The bull doesn't know they're here. The closer they get before they attack, the greater their chance of success. They can't outrun it, but they can overpower it and silence them before he alerts the herd.
Come on. Yeah.
It takes the threat of being gored to move the lions. Big Bull isn't quick enough to leave with his comrades. He calls them back. The lions have not surrendered.
How, who's your daddy? There you go.
Tomorrow there will be more deaths and more deaths.
Isn't that good? That's what happens when you isolate. That's what happens when you're alone. When I saw that, I thought, God, thank you. That's the perfect analogy. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But when you're together, planted in the house of God, all the other bulls, they come up, the buffaloes, and they push the devil back. Come on tonight. Stay planted. Stay connected. Watch God do a great work in your heart and in your life. I love looking at some of you there. What's going to happen? I wouldn't have showed you anything bad. I'd wait that for that, just a men's night. Amen. Stay connected. Stay planted. Let's pray tonight. Some of you need an extra dose of that. You go through a season and you might disconnect and get out on your own, but God wants to keep you planted, keep you connected, keep you activated in God's house. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of the living God. Help us, Lord, each one of us, not only to stay planted for ourselves, but for others as well, so we can help those who are struggling, those who are hurting, those who are lonely, God. I just pray over my brothers and my sisters, my family tonight, for the best that you have for them, God, for them to experience the best that you have for them, I pray. Let this season that we're in cause them to flourish in the house of the living God, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you so much. Make sure you say hi to somebody before you leave tonight. Go in His grace.